Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show. Final hour of the program is the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. You know, Chuckery gets first request. You know I was going to start off with some Anita Baker after that great story. I'm just laughing about the baby face. Like, why would Anita Baker get sucked into all of that?
She calls his fans the Kenny Crazies, because, you know, his name is Kenny.
Yes, Kenneth Edmonds. Yes.
Yeah, so she calls them the Kenny Crazies.
You know, and look, she's, what did we say, 65, right?
64.
Okay. You know, like, I'm just about at this point, okay, where I will say anything to anybody.
Right.
Like, you get to a certain point in life,
yep.
It at an age, and you don't give two F's about things.
Yeah.
And you'll say anything to somebody.
You will speak your mind.
Right. And I'm, trust me when I say, like, I have to fight every day from speaking my mind. Because I got a lot of stuff on my mind. And I'm telling you, like, I still forget things. You know, I had the stroke in December.
Right.
I still have things where I forget things. I lose my memory. I can't remember stuff.
Right.
I can't formulate words and stuff. Like, so, I mean, I still have some of those effects and stuff like that. But the thing that I have to fight every day is not just going off. And it's a struggle. It's a real struggle. To not have to just speak my mind and just lay some things on the line for people. And I think that as I've, A, gotten older, B, you know, had some health issues and stuff like that, like you get to a point where it's like, F it, right? And I've known people like that they just, you get to that old man point where you're just going to say whatever you're going to say. I'll give credit. Like, Neil Bortz is one of those guys. Like, he got to a point where he was like, look, I don't care if you love me, like me, hate me, don't want to. So I don't care. Right. And I'm kind of at that point, too, where it's like I can take everything. Look, I've got my inner circle and stuff like that. But, you know, you can take, like, everything else and just say, okay, I'm not worried about what the outside background noise says about anything. Right?
Right.
So and I think she's kind of at that point, you know, like I think she kind of hit that point where she was going to speak her mind. And I wonder how that, I mean, again, it would be Babyface's people and Anita Baker's people that would have had that discussion. It wasn't Anita Baker sat down with Babyface and said, look, honey, you're off the tour, right? Like, she wouldn't have done that. They have their people handle those things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but can you imagine Anita Baker sitting down with Babyface and if this had really happened, sit down with Babyface and explain to him about what's going on and all this kind of stuff? Like, I'll guarantee you she spoke her mind a few times. If she thought he was late and how long he was on stage, I guarantee you that she spoke her mind a few times. And I promise you, I bet you Babyface didn't understand where she was coming from. Like she probably was crystal clear about some things when she would, you know, probably in passing, you know what I mean? Like it wouldn't have been a situation where she just maybe came out and said something, but it would have been very much implied what her, you know, mindset was and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
it's just I gotta laugh. It's a fascinating story to me. I mean, you got two high profile entertainers that, you know, should be getting along, and she's just gonna go after Babyface's fans and all that. And I guarantee you, she said some things behind the scenes that probably was a lot more than the what do you call them? The what was it?
Oh, the Kenny crazies.
Yeah, I'll guarantee you, she probably called them the Kenny some kind of 4-letter word or something like that. You know. But anyway, it is funny. I kind of laugh at all of that stuff. So, all right, let's get to an NFL squib kick.
Taking a look at the NFL with the squib kick with John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
So the Vikings obviously had cut Dalvin Cook, and he was due to make $10.4 million this upcoming season, and they were not able to trade him. And they were kind of open about the idea of they wanted to trade him. And I think part of that is nobody wanted to pick up that kind of contract that he's owed. So Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald recently reported that Cook is looking for something far closer to the $10.4 million he was due to make than a $5 million deal. Now, given the state and status of running backs in the NFL, and I like Dalvin Cook a lot, but anybody paying him $10, $11 million? I don't see that happening, especially right now with it, you know, getting close to July and you're not far away from training camp. I don't see how he's going to get something closer to $10, $11 million. I think, you know, look, maybe you split the difference and it's, you know, if it's not 10 and it's not 5, maybe it's 7. But I see that being more on the high end. I don't think people are paying $10 million for a Dalvin Cook. Not that he's not a really good player, but I don't see that somebody's going to pay that kind of money for running backs anymore. And it's not the trend of teams to overpay for their running backs. Now, Cook's 27 years old. He'll be 28 when? He'll be 28 in August. So he'll be 28 before the season starts. And you say, well, that's not very old. Yeah, but in running back years, that's old. You know, he's got 1,300 carries in his 2-4. He's got 1,300 carries in 6 years. And he didn't carry the ball all that much his rookie year, only 74 times. So you think about the last 4 years, 264, 249, 312, and 250. You start racking up a lot of carries on these running backs, it starts to happen that they kind of naturally break down. And look, he had a really good season. 264 carries, 1,173 yards, 8 touchdowns, 4.4 yards per attempt. His yards per attempt has gone down, though, over the last 3 years. It's been a 3-year decline in yards per attempt. It peaked at 2020 in the pandemic year at 5 yards a carry, then 4.7 a couple years ago, and 4.4 this past season. And that's the trend that starts to happen in all of this. And look, he caught 39 passes, so he's obviously a very versatile back. He was always that way at Florida State and everything. So you run it 264 times, you catch it another 39 times, you know, now you're up over 300 touches. That starts to get to be a lot of touches for running backs. Starts to get to be a lot of touches. 39 receptions for 295 yards, 7.6 yards per reception, plus a couple of touchdowns. And again, it's not like he's an old man and things like that in terms of, you know, lifespan, but, you know, in football years, that gets to be like 7 years, the dog years and stuff like that. So I don't know if he's going to get the $10 million, but, you know, he'll probably find somebody that paid him five or six. I think the Falcons paid, then they paid Todd Gurley $5.5 million when he came here. We'll see what happens with all of that. The Buffalo Bills head coach says that all is well with Stephon Diggs. So Diggs was back at practice. He had been excused from Tuesday's mandatory mini camp, but you know, there's been some consternation with the Buffalo Bills and Stephon Diggs. He was a president and participated in individual drills on Wednesday during a mini camp. He did not participate in team drills. McDermott's clarification comes a day after he said he was very concerned about Diggs not being present at Tuesday's practice. And the coach said Wednesday that whenever a player is not at practice for whatever reason, he is concerned. Quote, "That's my sentiment with any player, in particular a player as important as Steph. And so I get convinced when players miss for reasons off the field, for reasons on the field, whether it be they're injured or whatever, that's just how I am. So when I say I'm very concerned because of the situation with one of our players, and it was something that we needed to work through, and those are healthy conversations that happen, and I'm extremely appreciative of those conversations. It gets us, when you have those healthy conversations, it gets you to a better spot, and I feel good about it. I feel like we're in that spot." So, and they tried to get him there to take his physical and everything on Monday. And then he reported again on Tuesday for meetings. And then a meeting took place with what says is good communication, good conversation that led to the decision that some space was needed. So, again, a weird situation here in Buffalo, but certainly, you know, one of those deals where, look, they... you know, they're trying to work some things out, and look, he's a huge part of what they want to do, right? So, I mean, he's a huge part of what this is, and obviously he's, look, one of the better wide receivers in the entirety of the NFL. Joe Burrow's talking about Pat Mahomes, saying that he's the best quarterback in the NFL. So, obviously, we know that, you know, Joe Burrow is, you know, looking for his new extension, and again, how big of a contract is Joe Burrow going to get? Like, this will be at the Pat Mahomes level. So talking about who Joe Burrow believes is the best quarterback in the world right now, I don't think there's any argument right now. It's Pat Mahomes. Until someone has a better year than he's had, he's the one to knock off. Now, what have I said before, Day-Day? That if you put every player into a free agent draft, okay, every GM in the country would take Pat Mahomes number one.
Yep.
Every NFL GM would take Pat Mahomes. I think he's the best player in the entirety of the NFL. And he's not just the best player, but he's the best player in the league at the most important position in the NFL. And he's a guy that has completely transformed their franchise. So, but look, Joe Burrow is not as far behind as we may think. You know, you get to that next group of players that is the most important players in the league, Burrow's in that discussion. Now, it was Tom Brady forever. I mean, but Tom's out of the league now. But Pat Mahomes is that guy now. And Burrow's not far out of that discussion. I mean, you think about the best players in the NFL and the most important players in the NFL, Mahomes is certainly number one. But then you start to get into a discussion about, okay, who's number two? Is it Joe Burrow's? You know, is it Kyle Allen? Or not Kyle Allen, Josh Allen. Sorry, Kyle Allen, the stiff. Josh Allen. Is it Micah Parsons? You know, but there's no doubt about it that Pat Mahomes is the best player in the NFL. All right, when we come back, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We're going to open up the phone lines to you. Trey tweeted it, but do you believe it? Check with Nakia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Ain't there something I can give in exchange for everything you give to me?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com, code FIT.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Listen, we got to be fair and balanced, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Got to be fair and balanced. This is Brown Liquor Music Hour, Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios. Better as a producer or a performer?
You know, well, have I seen him live? I've never seen him live. Well, when you say performer, just the music he makes, I'd say better as a producer-writer. Because his catalog from that vantage point is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean him and L.A. Reid. I mean that was the team and the partnership. That they had.
And then he had stuff that he wrote on his own for people. Like, so I would say writer.
What was the group that he was in?
That was The Deal. That was him and L.A. Reid.
But was that when that was the song Two Occasions, right?
Yes. Yes.
That
the
was
deal.
That was the so it was him and L.A. Reid in that
group.
Yeah,
in the deal. Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember.
Yeah,
what the,
yeah. And then his brothers were after Seven. Two of his brothers.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, that's true. Yes. Yeah. Oh gosh, what was that song?
What was their song?
Was it Real Close?
No, their song. Gosh, I'm drawing a blank. Well, that's
hold
what
on.
Google's for.
That's yeah. I was gonna say, hold on. After Seven, Baby, I'm For Real. One Night. Oh, Ready or Not. Ready or Not.
Yes, yeah, Ready or Not.
Ready
yeah.
or Not.
Yeah, that was
what
it.
A great song.
That was a classic.
Yeah.
Which he wrote.
Yeah, right, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah, yeah. Was he in that group?
No, no, it was just his brother.
Right?
Yeah, it was just his brother. I think it was two brothers and a cousin.
Yeah, Kevon Edmonds,
yeah,
Jason Edmonds.
And then a cousin.
And then Kevin Mitchell, or
yes.
Keith Mitchell.
Yeah, which was
and
like
then Melvin Edmonds was in the group as well.
So
there was a few of those guys. So, okay, so, yeah. That's a really good song, but yes, we have to be fair and balanced for Anita Baker. So it's just again, I'm just chuckling at all that. I mean, just again, she and somebody on the text line brought up, she really is a diva. Like she is
real. She's hardcore.
Like, you talk about like Mariah Carey and people like that. She's a real diva.
Yeah.
I mean, she's notorious.
And she's old school diva. She's Dionne Warwick.
Yeah. Like, Gladys Knight. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that old school, yes, mentality. All right, well, speaking of old school, 404-726-0929. We're going to open up the phone lines to you here. Look, Trae Young put out a tweet the other day where after the Denver Nuggets won the NBA title, he was kind of joking with Michael Porter Jr., who said, yeah, you guys didn't go as far as what we thought and all that kind of stuff, whatever, like that. But then Trae Young put out a tweet that got the internet all ablaze, right, where he said, we next, and then had the diamond ring emoji and the trophy emoji next to it, meaning that we're the next team to win an NBA title. And that got Twitter all ablaze. Ah, you know, they're crazy. How can he say that? And, you know, people start quote tweeting and bookmarking and saving and downloading and freeloading and whatever else they do nowadays on the Twitter machine. Because I guarantee you, whoever wins the NBA title next year, and I don't think it's going to be the Hawks, but whoever wins the NBA title next year, there will be people that will be on freezing cold take things or whatever to show, you know, that, again, you know, his tweet that, oh, you got it wrong. Okay, whatever. Or when when the Hawks are eliminated, if and when they're eliminated from playoff, you know, from the playoffs, that's what it'll be. But I like the moxie of Trae Young in doing this. I got no problem with this whatsoever. I want Trae Young to think about championship. And, you know, look, he's talked about the idea of, you know, we need to be better. Obviously, this is going to be a huge season for both Trae and the Atlanta Hawks. Because if things don't break through for Trae and the Hawks, what are you going to do? And especially if they ditch a John Collins or a Hunter or a Bogey or a Capella or, you know, DeJounte, whoever it is, whatever it is, you know, if they move on from any of those other guys, you know, this becomes more and more Trae's. Look, if they move on from John Collins, this is truly Trae's team. Like that or not, the good, the bad, the otherwise, this is truly Trae's team at that point. Even though Collins was here, you know, a year before and all that kind of stuff, and they've sort of been attached at the hip or whatever like that. But it's a huge year. And so Trae tweeted it, do you believe it? Now, do I think that the Atlanta Hawks are winning the NBA title next year? No. But we've also talked about the idea of they need to be a much better organization. They need to be a second-round playoff team. They've got to be a top 3, 4, 5 seed in the Eastern Conference, especially with all the upheaval in the Eastern Conference. And I think there are going to be teams that are going to drop back. You see that the Hawks can play with anybody in the NBA when they get it right. Beating the Miami Heat, an example after example after example. Pushing the Boston Celtics. And even Jaylen Brown talked about the idea of that. He said the Hawks could have been a higher seed if they showed the same intensity throughout the series against the Celtics that, you know, in some of those moments that they did. You think Jaylen Brown looks at the Hawks as a spot where after having played? Could let me ask you this, Day-Day.
Mm-hmm.
And a man can dream. I understand that there's a lot involved in all this. But do you think in some ways it was the best thing for Jaylen Brown to see the Hawks in a playoff series and see what they're capable of and see the kind of roster that they got, especially if he's not going to sign with the Celtics, and especially if there's going to be a pursuit of a trade? Could it be that he looks at the Hawks as an organization? I mean, he talked about the idea of they could probably have been a better seed. Does he look and say, if I was on the Hawks, we could go places? I wonder if he thinks like that.
I mean, he should think like that. I mean, not now, trying to be funny, yeah. I would think that he looks at that
right.
team.
And, now,
and
again,
thinks that.
I mean, the thing with Bradley Beal is Bradley Beal's got a no-trade agreement in his
Yeah,
in his
so he can basically decide where
right.
he's going.
Right, Jaylen
yeah.
Brown can't decide anything.
No.
Jaylen Brown can get shipped off to whatever, Siberia.
Serbia, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. I mean, you know, and be, you know, be in some gulag and playing basketball. So, again, he will have no say in all of this. But, you know, I'm sure he could probably talk to – I mean, look, the Hawks are probably looking to trade some assets at some point, right?
Yeah.
I think we agree on that. But could the best thing have been that he played for the Hawks – against the Hawks, I should say, and maybe, you know, playing – coming back home – whatever. I mean, we're getting way ahead of ourselves here. But,
yeah.
But again, you know, this is an important year for Trae Young, for the Atlanta Hawks, that I've got no problem with him – talking about setting that expectation that this is about championships.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem has been that, and maybe until he wins a title, or maybe until he makes another appearance in the Eastern Conference Finals, he's always going to have to live with that moniker of the press conference where he came out and said that, oh, the regular season doesn't mean anything to us and all that. And again, that may be real, it may be perceived, but again, perception has the same effect as truth. If it's perceived that way, people think it's true. And that's how it works in different things, right? If you perceive something to be true, in your mind it's true. And when he says that, you know, that was one of those things that, oh, okay. Because again, it's not like we've been really good during the regular season the last 2 years. Not like we've been, you know, a top 3-4 seed in the Eastern Conference when he said that. Oh, the regular season doesn't matter and all that. It's all about the playoffs. Okay. Well, why have we set ourselves up for failure in the playoffs by going into these fakakta play-in games and all these different goofy things and having to play a top team in the Eastern Conference? Like, why would we put that on ourselves? Why have that? But that's where we've lived the last couple of years. So I like it. I'm not, again, if the Hawks don't win an NBA title next year, I'm not disappointed. But I do think there has to be growth. There has to be steps forward. This has to be a second-round playoff team, be a top 4 seed, 5 seed, 6 seed, whatever, be out of the play-in tournament, find your way into the second round of the playoffs. You know, and I think that's got to be the expectation. Do I think they can win the NBA title? No, I don't think with the roster they have, they can win the NBA title. I don't see any way that they can, unless they just have the miracle of all miracle seasons out there. But we all do anticipate that there are going to be some changes in this, that there are going to be changes to this roster, because it's going to be a hard justification to your fans to just run everybody back. Well, you know, we got a new coach and all that. Well, Quinn, you specifically said that Quinn Snyder was here to evaluate the roster. That's why you paid him $8 million to come in here and start coaching right away with 25 games left or whatever it was, 21 games, because they were 10-11, 21 games left. It's going to be hard to run it back with those guys. Just, you know, have the same roster and, you know, add a draft pick or two or whatever like that, or just a bench piece or two or whatever. It's going to be hard to just have the same group that you've got, run it back. And obviously, Trae talked about he's got to play better. We got to coach better. We got to play better. I mean, everything has to come together. But this should be a second-round playoff team, and I think that has to be the minimum expectation for all of this. I think that's got to be where this team lives when you talk about what's gonna define success for this team. I don't think it's NBA championship. I don't think it's Eastern Conference Finals. But being a second round playoff team, that's got to be the minimum expectation that we have for this team. So again, we'll see what happens here. It's going to be a busy offseason. Don't forget, we'll have the draft coming up for you next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, is the NBA draft from State Farm Arena. It will be Sparty, Caleb, and myself. So Caleb Johnson, our Hawks reporter, Deshaun Tate, Sparty, our college basketball expert. And then what am I going to do? Like, what's my job?
Hang out and eat.
Yeah. Are they going to have that tenderloin there? Can I have some of that tenderloin? If you're listening, Atlanta Hawks, please, please, please have some of that tenderloin available. I want to go up in the suite and broadcast from there.
That would be nice.
Yeah, and just have the buffet anyway. All right, one more segment to go. JR Sports Brief coming up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. I've never felt so. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chuck Reese Show, Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. We had the top of the hour. I guess we got Max von Sydow. So the preacher from The Exorcist is going to be on up next. So I guess he's going to perform an exorcism. I mean, is that what he's going to do?
I hope not.
Or he was also the police chief in Minority Report.
Yes, he was. So, yes.
He's been in a million movies. He was one of the people on the council in the Judge Dredd movie
with Sylvester Stallone. Yeah.
Right, right. So he's been in a million movies. He was the police captain or something like that with Rush Hour 3.
I didn't see Rush Hour 3.
Really?
I didn't see Rush Hour 2.
Wow. Really?
I didn't see Rush Hour.
Hold on. You didn't see Rush Hour?
No.
How's come? Like, that's...
I
those,
don't know.
Those movies are... I mean...
Like, I've seen... Like, they've been on in the background, like, but I've never sat and watched them.
The third one, no doubt about it. It was a cash grab. I'll give you that.
Uh-huh.
But the first one is... I mean, it's legitimately... The first one is one of the more underrated comedies of all time. You know, right. We've talked about some of these comedies, you know, that are underrated. You know, I think that... oh, gosh. What's the Robert Townsend movie?
The Five Heartbeats? The Five Heartbeats. Oh, yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah, that's an underrated comedy.
Yeah.
Midnight Run is an underrated comedy.
That's the one with the two guys with...
Charles Grodin and Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Underrated comedy. But Rush Hour, in a lot of ways... And I know it's kind of become, like, more mainstream and all that kind of stuff. But when it came out... That was a big hit. Like, I mean, it became a big hit that probably most people wouldn't have thought that it would become a big hit or spawn additional movies. But those guys are great together. Yeah. The original Rush Hour. Those guys are phenomenal together. Yeah. The original Rush Hour.
And it's one of those things where, like, I remember, like, I once it came, because I didn't see it in theaters, and then when it came out on DVD, it was one of them things where I put it on, but I never, like, sat and watched it. So, like, I'm familiar with scenes and lines, but I never actually sat and took the movie in.
Hey, Chris Tucker is just so funny in the mannerisms when he gets frustrated at Jackie Chan. I mean, yeah. It's so good. Like, their chemistry is so good. I mean, I think that's, I mean, truthfully, like, that's why, look, the first Lethal Weapon movie is a great
classic
story. Like,
classic.
Gary
Busey.
Again,
yeah.
I keep saying, why can't they make more movies like Lethal Weapon?
Mm-hmm.
But Danny Glover and Mel Gibson have great on-screen chemistry. Like,
yeah.
they parlay off one another very well. And I think that is the big success to a movie like Rush Hour, Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, when you have like duos.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, but it's you got to have good chemistry. Like there's, we joke about this with wrestling, right? Like, let's talk mm-hmm. it in wrestling terms. You have to have good chemistry in the ring. Like,
yeah.
So, for instance, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker had great chemistry with one another.
Right.
Like, they worked really well with one another. But Austin and Shawn Michaels didn't have that great of chemistry.
Right.
Undertaker and Austin did not have great chemistry with one another.
Mm-mm.
Like, their styles just kind of clashed. I mean, they weren't bad, but they didn't really have, I mean, like SummerSlam 98, you know, they didn't have a lot of great chemistry with one another.
Right.
But yet, when it came to Bret Hart, or, you know, when it came to, you know, Mankind and The Rock, like, Austin had great chemistry with those mm-hmm. guys. But when it came to Undertaker, who, you know, again, you could make case that that's two of the three biggest stars Vince ever had, you know, along with Hogan or The Rock or whatever. But they didn't have great chemistry with one another.
Right.
And that's the thing I think that drove, that's the thing I think that makes Rush Hour so good is, you know, it's an updated, for lack of a better term, it is an updated Lethal Weapon, but it's a different style. But it's that buddy movie, mm-hmm. but they have really good chemistry with
right.
one another.
Right.
Like they have great chemistry, on-screen chemistry, and it comes through. And besides the movie being funny and all that, it's good. Like, it's entertaining, and you're yeah. entertained by those two guys. And that's the same thing with Lethal Weapon. Like, and as the Lethal Weapon series went on, the fourth one was, again, it was a cash grab, right?
Yeah.
I mean, by the time you got to the fourth one, it's like, okay, now he's cut his hair.
Yeah.
You know, Riggs has cut his hair, and now he's getting married, and he's yeah. going to have a baby, and it's like, okay.
And the daughter was married by, Murtaugh's daughter was
well, yeah,
married,
well,
right?
I mean, Murtaugh's daughter had the baby with Chris
right,
Tucker.
Exactly.
They weren't
yeah.
married at the time, but I mean, she had the baby.
Yeah.
She was having the baby. And it's like, okay. I mean,
yeah,
the,
once they added Chris Tucker to it, I mean, Chris Rock to it, it was just kind of like, eh.
Well, yeah, that and the story was lame.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole Chinese immigrant.
Like, they should have stopped at three.
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
should have. They definitely should
have
stopped.
Yeah, I mean, even three was
three.
Too far.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those things that progressively got worse as the movies went along.
Yeah.
And that's true for most.
Trilogies.
Franchises.
Yeah, franchises.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
You don't make a whole bunch of franchise movies in a franchise and they're all really good.
Right.
But yeah, they should have stopped with the third one. I mean, even that was starting to get over the top. But the first one and the second Lethal
yeah,
Weapon,
those were
phenomenal.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the first one in the theaters.
Same.
And.
Yep.
It came out, I think, Christmas time. Because, again, the movie's set during Christmas. I think it did come out during Christmas time. And it was unlike anything I'd seen. Like, I mean, again, I'm not trying to overhype it. I mean, it wasn't an Academy Award-winning film or whatever like that. But just there was such good chemistry. It was such a good story. Good action. Like, it was just a really good movie to go and see. Like, again, I keep saying, like, why can't we make movies like that? Like, why does everything either have to be a comic book or a 15th, you know, again, Fast and Furious 70, you know, like why, or you know, I don't know, some, what's the most, the Eternals, like, again, like the you take the most random, nobody knows about this group of superheroes and put them into a movie for 3 hours. Like, why can't we make a Lethal Weapon movie? Why can't we make Rush Hour?
I think movies like that are being made. They're just not being like.
But where are they? Where are? I mean, are,
I think
they, on,
just
are
think,
they on Fubo and
I just
chick
think,
flicks?
Yeah,
and
Netflix. And I just think now, like, it just seems like now movies are made so like they're put out way more than like it just seems like in the you know late 80s 90s don't I'm not
well,
saying
you have so many platforms now right
yeah.
I mean with all the streaming platforms you have a broad market for
yeah
for entertainment platforms right
yeah
and you know the movie that started that was really that that Sandra Bullock movie where the creatures come out like she had to be blindfolded.
Oh yeah. She had to blindfold
the birds
her and the
or
kids.
Whatever, like her
yeah,
and her kids,
yeah,
like
yeah,
the birds
yeah.
or whatever.
They made
like
a
that.
Sequel to that if I'm not mistaken.
Well, but I mean that was like the first
yeah.
really big hit streaming movie.
Yep.
Right? And I seen part of it. But that was kind of, and you know, again, with a mainstream star and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Now everybody does all the streaming movies, right? Yep. But again, there's still something magical about the theater. Like, there's still something about movies in a theater that you want to go see and see it on the big screen and be a part of the experience and all that kind of stuff. And movies still do well. Like, I mean,
yeah, they do.
You know, box office movies, I mean, still bring in huge bucks.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, for most of them, it's, you know, Spider-Man, you know, Fast and Flaky 10 and, you know, all the, I mean, it's just, it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's not really good stories. You know, again, that movie that won the Academy Award for Best Picture, I saw a lot of that movie. You know, that movie that had
what's her name in it? From
Halloween.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis was in it. Michelle Yeoh, who was a Bond girl. You know, that's the movie that won Best Picture. And you watch that movie and it's like, you know, like I don't even know what I was watching. And there's some multiverse and like, it's just too whacked out. You know, it's just too whacked out. You know, again, there's just not good storytelling anymore.
Yeah, well, it's about to be worse now that there's that writer's strike. Not going to get much of anything now. You know how bad it was? I didn't realize. So I was at the fitness center yesterday, and Whoopi Goldberg, what's the show they're on? The View?
Yeah.
And she comes on as the show comes on, and she's explaining to the crowd, like, you know, if you see us just kind of fumbling, it's because the strike is still going on. We still don't have writers, so we're just winging it. And I was like, wow, they're winging daytime TV, like, because of the writer's strike. Like,
yeah, but again, shouldn't that be the way? I mean, if you have those personalities, shouldn't that be the way it is? Like, again, I would think with those personalities, and again, you know, no matter what you think about, but again, with those bigger than life personalities, you should be able to just turn the camera on and riff it.
Yeah, and just to have the producers tell you, here's the topic,
right.
Go. Yeah,
right.
I guess
right.
not.
I mean, kind of just provide the direction. But not script everything out. I mean, you should be able to, with that much talent, you should be able to just riff on it.
Yeah, well, apparently, no writers on the show, so they're winging it.
But, I mean, I never can stand that why they can't make just not movies that are Academy Award winners, not movies that are going to get a gazillion dollars at the box office. There doesn't seem to be any in between. Either you go for the artsy-fartsy film of trying to win an Oscar, or you make Top Gun 2. Like, there's nothing in between.
Yeah.
Like, every Marvel movie tries to be the Avengers.
Right.
I mean, they all try to be the Avengers, and they think that, okay, we're a Marvel movie. We can just, you know, put Pant-Man, you know, out, and it'll do well. Well, you know, there's a limited market to some of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and the difference with them is they're telling continuous stories and stuff. They're
they
know that some stuff is not going to do well. Like, I honestly think in their world, they know, okay, this isn't going to be Infinity War. This is just our filler till we get.
While I understand that, I don't think they look at it like that.
Well, no,
Marvel's a huge.
Yeah, it's
a huge money driving franchise. And I think they think that every movie that they put out is going to rake in gazillions of dollars. I don't think they do movies with the idea of that they're throwaway movies.
Well, no, I don't want to say throwaway, but I just think they manage their own expectations. Put it that way.
Okay.
I think they manage their own expectations on what certain movies are going to do. Because they, to your point, they know they like Shanghai. How many, the diehard comic people know about Shanghai, but the average person that just loved Captain America and all that.
But if you make a good movie, people will go.
Right, which Shanghai was a good movie.
And from all report, and I didn't see Shanghai Noon or whatever, but, you know, people said it was a good movie.
It was.
And it did really well at the box office.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's not just the hardcore people that are going to see that kind of movie. That's more mainstream people that if the movie's good and entertaining, you know, Captain Marvel did really well. Not many people know about Captain Marvel,
no.
But you had Brie Larson in it, who was an Oscar winner.
Yeah.
And, you had a good movie story and all that, and it did well. I mean, it did well at the box office. So anyway, all right, we're going to wrap things up with a Love TKO up next. Chuck from the Key Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com, code FIT.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed's sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed's sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chuck Reese Show, Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along. We had the top of the hour. I guess we got Max von Sydow. So the preacher from The Exorcist is going to be on up next. So I guess he's going to perform an exorcism. I mean, is that what he's going to do?
No, I don't think so. I'd hope not.
Or he was also the I guess it was the like police chief in Minority Report.
Yes, he was. So, yes.
He's been in a million movies. He was one of the people on the council in the Judge Dredd movie
with Sylvester Stallone. Yeah.
Right. So he's been in a million movies. He was in the police captain or something like that with Rush Hour 3.
I didn't see Rush Hour 3.
Really?
I didn't see Rush Hour 2.
Wow. Really?
I didn't see Rush Hour.
Hold on. You didn't see Rush Hour?
No.
How's come? Like, that's...
I don't know.
Those movies are, I mean...
Like, I've seen... Like, they've been on in the background, like, but I've never sat and watched them.
The third one, no doubt about it. It was a cash grab. I'll give you that.
Uh-huh.
But the first one is... I mean, it's legitimately... The first one is one of the more underrated comedies of all time. You know, right. We've talked about some of these comedies, you know, that are underrated. You know, I think that, what's the Robert Townsend movie? Five Heartbeats?
The Five Heartbeats. Oh,
yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
that's
an underrated comedy.
Yeah.
Midnight Run is an underrated comedy.
That's the one with the two guys with
Charles Grodin and Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Underrated comedy. But Rush Hour, in a lot of ways, and I know it's kind of become like more mainstream and all that kind of stuff, but when it came out, that was a big hit. Like, I mean, it became a big hit that probably most people wouldn't have thought that it would become a big hit or spawn additional movies. But those guys are great together. Yeah. The original Rush Hour, those guys are phenomenal together in the original Rush Hour.
And it's one of those things where, like, I remember, like, because I didn't see it in theaters. And when it came out on DVD, it was one of them things where I put it on, but I never, like, sat and watched it. So, like, I'm familiar with scenes and lines, but I never actually sat and took the movie in.
Hey, Chris Tucker is just so funny in the mannerisms when he gets frustrated at Jackie Chan. I mean, it's so good. Like, their chemistry is so good. I mean, truthfully, like, that's why, look, the first Lethal Weapon movie is a great
classic
story. Like,
classic.
Gary
Busey,
again,
yeah.
I keep saying, why can't they make more movies like Lethal Weapon?
Mm-hmm.
But Danny Glover and Mel Gibson have great on-screen chemistry. Like, they parlay off one another very well. And I think that is the big success to a movie like Rush Hour, Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, when you have like duos.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, but it's you got to have good chemistry. Like there's, we joke about this with wrestling, right? Like, let's talk put it in wrestling terms. You have to have good chemistry in the ring. Like, so for instance, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker had great chemistry with one another.
Right.
Like, they worked really well with one another. But Austin and Shawn Michaels didn't have that great of chemistry.
Right.
Undertaker and Austin did not have great chemistry with one another.
Mm-mm.
Like, their styles just kind of clashed. I mean, they weren't bad, but they didn't really have, I mean, like SummerSlam 98, you know, they didn't have a lot of great chemistry with one another.
Right.
But yet, when it came to Bret Hart or, you know, when it came to, you know, Mankind and The Rock, like, Austin had great chemistry with those guys. But when it came to Undertaker, who, you know, again, you could make a case that that's two of the three biggest stars Vince ever had, you know, along with Hogan or The Rock or whatever. But they didn't have great chemistry with one another.
Right.
And that's the thing I think that drove – that's the thing I think that makes Rush Hour so good is, you know, it's an updated – for lack of a better term, it is an updated Lethal Weapon, but it's a different style. But it's that buddy movie, but they have really good chemistry with one another.
Right.
Like, they have great chemistry, on-screen chemistry, and it comes through. And besides the movie being funny and all that, it's good. Like, it's entertaining, and you're entertained by those two guys. And that's the same thing with Lethal Weapon. Like, and as the Lethal Weapon series went on, the fourth one was, again, it was a cash grab, right?
Yeah.
I mean, by the time you got to the fourth one, it's like, okay, now he's cut his hair.
Yeah.
You know, Riggs has cut his hair, and now he's getting married, and he's going to have a baby, and it's like, okay.
And the daughter was married by, Murtaugh's daughter was
married,
right?
Murtaugh's daughter had the baby with Chris Tucker.
Right, exactly.
They weren't married at the time, but, I mean, she had the baby.
Yeah.
She was having the baby, and it's like, okay, I mean.
Yeah, once they added Chris Tucker Chris Rock to it, it was just kind of like, eh.
Well, yeah, that and the story was lame.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole Chinese immigrant.
Like, they should have stopped at 3.
Oh, yeah.
They definitely should have stopped at three.
Too far.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those things that progressively got worse as the movies went along.
Yeah.
And that's true for most.
Trilogies.
Franchises.
Yeah, franchises.
Right? I mean, a lot of franchises. I mean, you don't make a whole bunch of franchise movies in a franchise and they're all really good.
Right.
But yeah, they should have stopped with the third one. I mean, even that was starting to get over the top. But the first one and the second Lethal Weapon,
those were
phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember seeing the first one in the theaters.
Same.
And it came out, I think, Christmas time. Because, again, the movie's set during Christmas. I think it did come out during Christmas time. And it was unlike anything I'd seen. Like, I mean, again, I'm not trying to overhype it. I mean, it wasn't an Academy Award-winning film or whatever like that. But just there was such good chemistry. It was such a good story. Good action. Like, it was just a really good movie to go and see. Like, again, I keep saying, like, why can't we make movies like that? Like, why does everything either have to be a comic book or a 15th, you know, again, Fast and Furious 70, you know? Like, why? Or you know, I don't know. What's the most, the Eternals? Like, again, like, you take the most random, nobody knows about this group of superheroes and put them into a movie for 3 hours. Like, why can't we make a Lethal Weapon movie? Why can't we make Rush Hour?
I think movies like that are being made. They're just not being, like, there's
well,
just...
But where are they? Are they on FUBU and Chick-Flicks?
Yeah,
and
Netflix. And I just think now, like, it just seems like now movies are made so, like, they're put out way more than, like, it just seems like in the, you know, late 80s, 90s.
Have so many platforms now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with all the streaming platforms, you have a broad market for entertainment platforms, right?
Yeah.
And you know, the movie that started that was really that that Sandra Bullock movie where the creatures come out, like she had to be blindfolded.
She had to blindfold
the birds
her
and the or whatever,
kids.
Like her yeah, and her yeah, kids, yeah, like the birds yeah. or whatever.
They
like
made
that.
A sequel to that, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, but I mean that was like the first really big hit streaming movie,
yep.
Right? And I seen part of it, but that was kind of and you know again with a mainstream star and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Now everybody does all the streaming movies, right? Yep. But again, there's still something magical about the theater. Like, there's still something about movies in a theater that you want to go see and see it on the big screen and be a part of the experience and all that kind of stuff. And movies still do well. Like, I mean,
they do.
You know, box office movies, I mean, still bring in huge bucks.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, for most of them, it's, you know, Spider-Man, you know, Fast and Flaky 10 and... You know, it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's not really good stories. You know, again, that movie that won the Academy Award for Best Picture, I saw a lot of that movie. You know, that movie that had...
what's her name in it? From
Halloween.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis was in it. Michelle Yeoh, who was a Bond girl. You know, that's the movie that won Best Picture. And you watch that movie and it's like... You know, like I don't even know what I was watching. And there's some multiverse and it's just too whacked out. You know, it's just too whacked out. You know, again, there's just not good storytelling anymore.
Yeah, well, it's about to be worse now that there's that writer's strike. Not gonna get much of anything now. You know how bad it was? I didn't realize. So I was at the fitness center yesterday and Whoopi Goldberg, what's the show they're on? The View?
Yeah.
And she comes on as the show comes on and she's explaining to the crowd, like, you know, if you see it's just kind of fumbling, it's because the strike is still going on. We still don't have writers, so we're just winging it. And I was like, wow, they're winging daytime TV, like, because of the writer's strike. Like,
yeah, but shouldn't that be the way? I mean, if you have those personalities, shouldn't that be the way it is? Like, again, I would think with those personalities, and again, you know, no matter what you think about. But again, with those bigger-than-life personalities, you should be able to just turn the camera on and riff it.
Yeah, and just have the producers tell you, here's the topic,
right.
Go. Yeah,
right.
I guess
right.
not.
I mean, kind of just provide the direction, but not script everything out. I mean, you should be able to, with that much talent, you should be able to just riff on it.
Yeah, well, apparently, no writers on the show, so they're winging it.
But I mean, I never can stand that. Why they can't make just not movies that are Academy Award winners, not movies that are going to get a gazillion dollars at the box office. There doesn't seem to be any in between. Either you go for the artsy fartsy film of trying to win an Oscar, or you make Top Gun 2. Like, there's nothing in between.
Yeah.
Like, every Marvel movie tries to be the Avengers.
Right.
I mean, they all try to be the Avengers, and they think that, okay, we're a Marvel movie. We can just, you know, put Pant-Man, you know, out and it'll do well. Well, you know, there's a limited market to some of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and the difference with them is they're telling continuous stories and stuff. They're
yes, tying but again, stuff in. But
so
again, but
they know that some stuff is not going to do well. Like, I honestly think in their world, they know, okay, this isn't going to be Infinity War. This is just our filler till we get.
Oh, While I understand that, I don't think they look at it like that.
Well, no,
Marvel's a huge,
it's
a huge money driving franchise. And I think they think that every movie that they put out is going to rake in gazillions of dollars. I don't think they do movies with the idea of that they're throwaway movies.
Well, no, I don't want to say throwaway, but I just think they manage their own expectations. Put it that way.
Okay.
I think they manage their own expectations on what certain movies are going to do. Because they, to your point, they know they like Shanghai. How many, the diehard comic people know about Shanghai, but the average person that just loved Captain America and all that.
But if you make a good movie, people will go.
Right, like, which Shanghai was a good movie.
And from all report, and I didn't see Shanghai Noon or whatever, but you know, people said it was a good movie.
It was.
And it did really well at the box office.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's not just the hardcore people that are going to see that kind of movie. That's more mainstream people that if the movie's good and entertaining, you know, Captain Marvel did really well. Not many people know about Captain Marvel,
no.
But you had Brie Larson in it, who was an Oscar
mm-hmm.
winner.
Yeah.
And you had a good movie story and all that, and it did well. I mean, it did well at the box office. So anyway, all right, we're going to wrap things up with a Love TKO up next. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's search and inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.